Today's shiur is Masechta Neda Daf Mem Dal. We will begin on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Tinoikis Bas Yom Echad, a girl who's even one day old, Metamas Benida, can already become a Nida. Mefarshim point out that why does our Mishnah speak, our Mishnah, as we're going to see, speaks about young boys and young girls. And the question is, why does our Mishnah focus on girls before boys? So I saw two explanations. One is, because as we're going to see, there are many more halachas mentioned in the Mishnah about boys versus girls. So first the Mishnah speaks about the girls, which will have less issues than boys. Another pshat that I saw, as we know that the Gemara says, Bas Tchila Simen Yof Labonim. So that's why Bas Tchila, the girl is spoken about first. Furthermore, the Mefarshim ask, we've learned many times, we've discussed many times, that the halacha is that midaraisa, a woman only becomes a nida with a hargosha. So the question is, when you have a girl who's one day old, she's obviously not able to have hargosha, she's just a baby. So how could the Mishnah say that she's tamei benida, but she can't have hargosha? So far as we say, we've mentioned this point previously, that hargosha is only a requirement where Hagosha is possible. Where Hagosha is not possible, as it is when we speak about this girl, then Hagosha is not a requirement. Continues the Mishnah, Bas Yudyamim Metame Beziva. Once a girl is 10 days old, she can become a Zava. And as the Rishonim explain, why it has to be 10 days? Because as we've mentioned so many times in our Shiurim, a woman's life is a cycle of 7 and 11 days. And first there are 7 days of Nida. And after the 7 days of Nida, you could have the days of Ziva. So you can't have a days of Ziva until 10 days. 7 days of Nida. And then you have to have at least 3 days of Ziva for a woman to become a Zava. 7 plus 3 equal 10. Tinek ben Yoima Echad, a boy even 1 day old, Metama b'Ziva, can have Tumas Ziva. Umetama ben Nagom. Furthermore, he could have Tumas Nagam, he could become a Metzaira. Actually, the Mefarshim point out that this halacha, a Metama ben Nagam, is not limited to boys. The same halacha would be by girls. But the reason the Mishnah mentions boys and not girls, because the halachas that we're about to learn, the other halachas that we're about to learn, are limited to boys. So that's why when the Mishnah speaks about this halacha, it speaks about it in terms of a boy. And he could be subject to Tumas Meis. The Farshim point out, actually, it's not limited that once the child is born, that he's only subject to Tumas Meis. He could actually be subject to all types of Tumas, Tumas Sheretz. But as the Mefarshim point out, it's highly unlikely that when you have a child that's so young, a day old baby, that he should be Metama Tumas Meis. He's just 1 day old. So that's why they explain that the Meis, Tumas Meis, we know is Tumas Oil. As long as the Meis is in the same house as the person, then he could become Tamei. And that's the most likely Tumah that a young child could be likely involved with. So our Mishnah is teaching us that when is a child subject to Tumas Meis? Only after he's born. But our Mishnah is clearly indicating that prior to the child being born, when he's only an uber, when he's only a fetus, he's not subject to Tumas Meis. So there's an interesting point that the Mefarshim discuss. The Shach quotes a Rekeach that says that the reason the wife of a Kohen who's pregnant could go into the house where there's a meis is because it's a sex faker. A suffik, if the child that she's carrying is a boy or a girl, and even if it's a boy, he may be a nafil and won't survive. And therefore, could rely on the sex faker for her to go into the house or to Alavaya where there's a meis. So all the Mefarshim ask, why does the Rekeach Sarishin, have to say that explanation? Number one, as we just discussed in our previous year, there is no tumah by tumah beluah. and a uber in its mother's womb is a tuma belua. And furthermore, they ask, our Mishnah clearly indicates that only once the child is born is he subject to tumas mes, not when he's an uber. So why does our Mishnah, why does the Rekech have to come up with a svek sveika? In fact, I saw a tshuva from Rabbi Yoshev. Rabbi Yoshev says that only in the time of Chazal, of the Rishonim, where there were no ultrasound and no sonogram, so we indeed didn't know what was the gender of the fetus. Do we have a svek sveika? He says, however, nowadays, where a pregnant woman can have a sonogram, that will most likely be able to tell us if the boy, if the fetus is a boy or a girl, we don't have that svek sveika. But the question is, why do we need a svek sveika, as we just explained, if our Mishnah is teaching us there is no tumas mes by an uber? So I saw that regarding the issue of tuma belua, the Farshim say that a fetus is not considered tuma belua. A fetus is considered part of the mother. What's the raya? Because the halacha is that if a pregnant woman, a non-Jewish pregnant woman, is being megayer, the tefillah of the mother is not only effective for the mother, it's also effective for the child. So clearly an indication that there is, that that child is not considered tuma belua, not considered belua, otherwise it would not be an entity of itself that the tefillah should be effective for it. Regarding the other question, which our Mishnah clearly seems to indicate that there is no tuma on an uber, so why do we have to rely on the svek sveika? So I saw there are Volzner answers in the Shalos HaTshuvos Shevet Halevi that the Rokeach is referring to a situation where the woman, the mother, is already in labor. When does our Mishnah say that an uber is not subject to tuma? Only at a point when the uber is not about to emerge. If the uber is about to emerge, then the din of our Mishnah, that uber is already subject to tuma, and that's why we have to have the Rokeach. Another pshat that I saw is that there are two issues regarding tumas meis, that a kohen may not be matam himself. One is that a kohen is not to become tame. But there's another issue, and that is that the kohen has to be very careful to avoid tuma. What's the raya? The raya is that all of our kohanim are considered tamei meis. But even though all of our kohanim are considered tamei meis, the halacha is that a kohen who's a tamei meis anyway can't be matam himself. Why? Isn't he already a tamei meis? The answer is that there's a special rule that kohanim have to avoid tuma. So even if we'll say that an uber is not subject to the first halacha, he's not allowed to be matam himself, but there's a new rule that a kohen has to do everything to avoid tuma, and that even would apply to an uber. That's why you have to have the rokeach svek sveika. Furthermore, the zaykek libam. We know that the halacha is that if a brother dies without children, so his other brother has to do yibam. So if someone died and he left over a brother who's even just one day old, that brother becomes a yavam to the almana, or paitim in a yibam, which means that if a woman, a man has a child who's even one day old, that child makes that his mother, the almana, should not be required to have yibam. However, explains Rashi, that's only after he's born. While he's still just an uber, that means you have a man that died and left over a pregnant wife, then the wife isn't yet exempt from yibam. Only when the child is born, then and only then does the almana become exempt from yibam. Umach betruma, the halacha is that if a bas yisrael marries a kohen, so the halacha is as long as they're married, she certainly may eat truma. And furthermore, the halacha is that if there are children left from that marriage until she would remarry a kohen, a non-kohen, she may eat truma. So even if there's a child who's just a one-day-old child, that's enough that the mother who is Yisraelis to be able to eat truma, or paisul mina truma. Pash pshat in the Mishnah, although we'll see in the Gemara, not like that, means as follows. On the contrary, If a Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael, so as long as she's married to the Yisrael, she certainly may not eat Truma. And if the Yisrael, if the marriage terminates, if there are children for the marriage, she still may not eat Truma. Even if there's a child that's just one day old, she may not eat Truma. V'noichel u'manchel, v'hogoy chayiv. So Parshat Pshat, the Mishnah is saying that when is it considered an act of Ritzicha, when is it considered an act of murder, if you kill a child who's one day old. But if you kill a child who's an uber, it's not considered Ritzicha. There's a very big machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what the Mishnah means. Some Rishonim suggest that what the Mishnah means to say is that there is no Chiyiv Misa in killing an uber. The Chiyiv Misa is only in killing a child. There's only Issed Rabbonim. Many Rishonim, however, disagree, the Rambam included, and says that killing an uber is considered an act of Ritzicha. Killing a fetus is considered an act of Ritzicha. Just there's two ways that the Mefarshim explain that opinion. One explanation is that the Issed Ritzicha is an Issed Ritzicha, but it doesn't have all of the halachas that Ritzicha normally comes with. Another explanation the Mefarshim give is that killing an uber is included in the category, a din that we discussed yesterday, of Ashchos Azera, killing seed by killing the uber. Finally, says the Mishnah, Vareu la'oviv l'imoy l'kol k'roviv k'chosin shalim. It's considered like k'chosin shalim that you have to have a velus. So all the Mefarshim discuss what does this Mishnah mean with the words k'chosin shalim. So the simplest pshat is, that what could be a greater tragedy that if you have a man and he's a chassan, he's about to get married, and instead of going to the wedding, he unfortunately passes away. So says the Mishnah, it's no different that even this one day child is also a terrible tragedy. Another pshat is that a child, the pasuk in the Torah, after he has a bris milah, is called chassan lamoilus. We find that Tzipora called Hassan Chosin Lamoilus. So saying the Mishnah that even if the child died before he was a Chosin Lamoilus, he died even before he had a bris milah, it doesn't change that there's a halacha of Avelis. A third pshat, very connected to the second pshat, is that Rachman al-Atzlan, if a child dies so very young that he died before he even could have a bris milah, the Mishnah is teaching us that before we bury him, we should make a bris milah, which is the minig that we do. We should never have such a shayla. The Mefarshim also point out, what does the Mishnah mean to say when it says, Harehu la'oviv l'imay? What does it mean, la'oviv l'imay? The Mefarshim say that even though normally, when an older child or an older person certainly passes away, there's a concept of a hesped, eulogy, etc. When you have such a young child dying, even though, as we're learning in the Mishnah, where we're learning Mitzvah and the Gemara, there's a chiyuv of avelus, still, it's not the same. And the Avelis is not as public. It's la'oviv l'imay who mourn, not the entire community. Begins the Gemara. Menani mili. How do we know that even a girl who's a day old is subject to Hilchas Nida? Says Mother Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk in Parashas Nida says Isha. Ainli Eli Isha, an adult woman. Basyam Echo l'nida menayin. How do we know that even a one-day-old girl is subject to Hilchas Nida? Tamalayim v'isha. Bas Yud Yomim L'Ziva. Again, ask the Gemara Menahani Mili, how do we know this then? The Tana Rabbanan, Isha, Ainli El Isha, an adult woman. Bas Yud Yomim L'Ziva Menayin. How do we know that even a 10-day-old girl is subject to Hilchas Ziva? Tamalayim V'Isha. Tinak Ben Yom Echad. We learned that a boy who's 1 day old is already subject to being a Zav. Again, ask the Gemara Menahani Mili. Says the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanan, Ish, ish. The Torah begins the parasha of Ziva with the words ish, ish. Ma tam alayma ish, ish. The rabbis ben yoim echad. Shematam beziva, divra b'Yehuda. And as the Rishonim explained, this is a miyut achamiyut. Ish is a miyut. A miyut achamiyut. El rabbis, what is the Torah coming to be marba? Even a child, is subject to Hilchas Ziva. Rav Shmuel ben Osh, Rav Yochanan ben Breik Omer, ain't a tzorach. We don't need this to be the source, this pasuk that we just learned to be the source that even a young boy is subject to Hilchas Ziva. Rather, Harehu Omer, the pasuk says, Vazoiv Ezoivoi, Lezacha Ulnakeva, The pasuk means to teach us lezocher kalshu, any male ben gadol ben katan, lenekeva kalshu, and any female ben gadol ben katana, are all subject to hilchas ziva. Ask the Gemara. So if that's the way Rabbi Shmuel knows that even a young boy is subject to hilchas ziva, imkem matam aloyim ish ish. What does he learn from the words ish ish? Answers the Gemara. Dibretari kolosh mei adam. He says it doesn't teach us anything. It's just the way the Torah speaks, the way people speak, ish ish. And the Rishonim point out, that even though here it seems that this concept of Divrei Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam is the subject of a Machlokes Tanoim, Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to the concept of Divrei Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, Rabbi Yehuda does not, says the Rishonim, it's not necessarily so. And just because in our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to the concept in our subject, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to the concept of Divrei Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, that doesn't mean he can't say it somewhere else. It's hard to know what exactly are the rules, but it doesn't mean that if you don't hold of it in one place, you can never hold of it elsewhere. Furthermore, we learned in the Mishnah, Umetam ben Nagoyim, even a young child is subject to Hilchas Tumas Nagoyim. Why? The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, Adam ki yeh ba'ar b'sayra, Adam kashu, any Adam. Umetam ben Tumas Mes, he's subject to Tumas Mes. Again, how do we know? The Ksiv, va'al nefashis ashahayisham, this is in the parasha of the Parah Aduma, that they have to sprinkle, if somebody becomes Tamei, the Eifer Parah mixture, Nefesh Kaldu, any Nefesh. Vizaykik liyubim, the halach is that as soon as he's a day old, there's a Chiv, he becomes a candidate to do Yibim on his sister-in-law, the Yamana. The Ksiv, Kiyesh V'achim Yachtov, Adam Shahay, as long as these two brothers live together in the world, that brother that remains has a chi of yibam. Upaitim in a yibam, the halacha is that if there was a child, then that mother doesn't have yibam. Why? Ben ein la amrachmana. Only if the father did not leave over any children is the halacha that there's a requirement for yibam. For ha, here, by leaving over this child, even though he wasn't alive together with the father, islay, there's a chiyuv yibam. Or macha betruma. Furthermore, we said that if there's a child left over, even if he's a young child, he makes his mother, who's a Bas Yisrael, married to a Kohen, be able to eat truma. Because the pasuk says, the yid, yilid beisoy, the ksiva, yilid beisoy, heim yoichlu belachmu, keriboy yachilu belachmu. They give him the ability to eat from the truma. Or paislam in a truma. Furthermore, we learned if a Bas Koyin married a Yisrael, the halacha is, and they left over any child, even this young child, that the halacha will be that the mother may not eat truma. Why? Because the Torah says, when may the Bas Koyin, who was married to Yisrael, return to her father's house to eat truma? Only if the Zera ain't lo amrachmana, if they have no children. However, for her, Isla, she has children, and since she has children, she could eat truma. Ask the Gemara if that isn't true. My ear is there, because from our Mishnah it seems that only if they have a child, that's when she was a Bas Koyin married to Yisrael, she can't go back to eat truma. It seems from our Mishnah that let's say she was mu'uberes from the Yisrael, then the halacha would be that as long as she has the child, she can't eat truma. But that isn't true, asked the Gemara. Because my area is Zera. Why is the Mishnah saying only if she has a child may she no longer eat truma, even though her husband, the Yisrael, passed away? Isn't the halacha, asked the Gemara, afilu ubernami, if she's just pregnant from the Yisrael, she may not go back to eat truma? Why, says the Gemara, diksif knureha, because the Torah, when it speaks about her going back, says knureha beisaviha, only, and we learn from that, prat numeberes, that once she's pregnant from the Yisrael, even if he dies, she no longer can eat truma. And the Gemara points out, why do I need two psukim? One pasuk speaks about when she had a child, and once from the Yisrael, and one pasuk speaks about when she's pregnant from the Yisrael. So the Gemara says we need both psukim. Srichi, dikos rechman of zera ein law, if we only had the pasuk of zera ein law, because we would say, b'shum She started off as being on her own. And now there are two, she and her child. That's when the halach is that she can't go back to her father's home to eat truma. Aval hocha, in the case where she is pregnant. The mikara chad gufa. She started off as one person. For hashta, now she remains chad gufa. Ema, maybe the halacha would be teichel, that she still should be allowed to eat truma after her husband, after the marriage terminates. Kos rachmana kenureha. Vikos rachmana kenureha. Mishum mikara gufa surika. She was empty. For hashta gufa malia. And she's full. She's pregnant. Aval hocha. In a case where she had a child. The mikara gufa surika. She's an empty body when she got married, when she was in her father's home. And now, too, she's an empty body because she already delivered her child. That's why we need the pasuk, both for when she had a child and when she was pregnant. So says the Gemara, Kroy itaritz. So we've explained why we need both psukim. But we still have our original question. El masnisen, we need to understand our Mishnah. My area. Why is our Mishnah indicating that only if ben yoim echad, only if she actually had a child, then is the halach if she was a bas koi married to Yisrael? She may not eat truma, afilu uber nami. The halach is even if she had an uber, she may not go back, even if she just moved beres, she may not go back to eat from the truma. Answers the Gemara. Omer of Sheshes, hachamayskin, our Mishnah is referring to the following situation. Bekon shesh l'shtei noshim. You have a kohen that's married to two wives. Achas grusha v'achas she'ena grusha. He's married to a wife who's not a grusha, a perfectly fine marriage, and he married a woman who's a grusha. And we all know that a kohen may not marry a grusha. Not only may a kohen not marry a grusha, the halach is that if a kohen marries a grusha, the child born from that marriage is a cholul. He's not considered a kohen. Now, continues Rav Sheshes, well, what happened? He dies, and he left over children who are full-fledged kohanim, the children from the wife who wasn't a grusha, and he left over this baby from the wife who was a grusha. Now we know the halacha is that the avodim kananim of a kohen, they're considered kinyan kaspoi, may eat truma. So as long as the father was alive, his avodim kananim belonged to him. And he is a kohen, so his avodim may eat. Now that he passed away, so all of his sons are his yarshim. And one of his sons is this child born from the grusha who is a cholol, who is not, as we said, considered a kohen. And not only, obviously, is he not considered a kohen, his avodim may not eat. And all of these sons together, before the Yerusha, before the state is divided, own the Avadim together. So now these Avadim Kananim are partially owned by a non-Kayan. That's why the Mishnah tells us that in this situation, the halacha would be that the Avadim Kananim could not eat Truma. And, says the Gemara, V'yesh to ben yomechem in a grusha, the paisel ba'av de aviv melechel b'truma. Because they're owned partially by this Ben Grusha, who's a cholol. Says the Gemara, Ula Fukim Rabbi Yossi, and what's the Mishnah trying to teach us? That we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Dama uber nami paisel, kamash malam ben yom ech in uber loy. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. It is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that not only is a child born have the ability of ownership, but even an uber can have the ability to own. So if that's the case, our Mishnah is teaching us that we don't follow that opinion. So only after this child born from the mother who was a grusha was born, at that point will the halacha be that the avodim kananim may not eat the truma. Why? Because at that point, the avodim kananim are owned, as we said, by a cholol. But let's say the mother is only muberis, the grusha is only muberis, so he doesn't have any ownership. So who are the sole owners? The other brothers who were born were in a far kohanim. So what the Mishnah is teaching us, according to Rashi's explanation, as long as the grusha is muberes and the father died, the avodim kananim could eat truma. Only after he's born, and now the avodim kananim are considered that they have partial non-kohen ownership, may they not eat. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos has a different explanation of the Gemara. Tyson's explanation is that actually our Mishnah could follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. But if the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, we're back to our question. Why do we need that the Uber should have been born, even if he wasn't born according to Rabbi Yossi? So Tyson takes the approach because we have a Sfex Faker. Number one, we don't know if this Grusha is carrying a boy or a girl. If she's carrying a girl's not a Yoreshes when there are boys. And maybe he's a Nafel, even if it's a boy. And that's why even if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the halacha would be that the child, the Avodim Kananim could continue eating truma until this child is actually born, and we'll see what's what. A third explanation I saw in the Rishonim is that Rabbi Yossi says a very bechiddush. What would be the halacha if this kohen married women that he's allowed to marry? And he has children that are kahanim, born boys, and then he has this uber. So there are Rishonim that suggest that when is there a halacha that if you're owned by a kohen, you could eat truma only if the kohen is a kohen. But a fetus, while it's still in its mother's womb, doesn't attain the status of a kahuna. The only time he attains the status of kahuna is when he's actually born. So according to Rabbi Yossi, let's think about this. The mother is perfectly fine. She was allowed to be married to the father. And when this boy will be born, he will be a full-fledged kohen. But until he's born, he's not a kohen. And Rabbi Yossi holds that an uber has the ability to own things, even though he's just an uber. So it turns out that the Avodim Kananim are owned partially by a non-kohen. Because even an uber, who will eventually be a kohen, he only becomes a kohen when he's born. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, he wouldn't be able, the Avodim Kananim can't eat truma until the boy is actually born. Noichu l'mancho. We learned noichu l'mancho. What does that mean? Noichu mi'mam mi'oviv. That as soon as he's born, he can yashin, he can inherit his father. Mancho l'man, if he passes away, la'ochiv mi'oviv. His paternal brothers, if he dies, immediately afterwards. That means his father died. And then the baby died. So then he yashins his father, and then his paternal brothers, he's a baby, he didn't have any children of his own, yashin him. But ask the Gemara, that can't be what the Mishnah means to say. Because what is going to happen here? What the Mishnah is saying is that if this baby boy was born and lived after his father passed away, he yashins, he gets a share of the Yerusha, and then he gives his share to his brothers. So what's the difference if he did yashin or didn't yashin? What would be if he didn't yashin? Who would get that share? His brothers. So what's the difference if he is or isn't born? The Mishnah is trying to teach us that there's a practical nafkamina. Where is there a practical nafkamina? Ibai mevulirsa, ibai mineilirsa. The brothers are anyway going to end up with this. Amar Rav Sheshes, what the Mishnah means to say is like this. Noichel benichsei aim lahancha min av. What the Mishnah says is like this. That let's say you had this baby. He was born. And then his mother died. So he's the Yorush of his mother. He has paternal brothers. They're his brothers only from his father, not from his mother. And then he dies as a baby. He doesn't have his own children. Who are his Yorushim? His paternal brothers. So this estate started off by the mother, then passed on to her son, because the son is the Yorush of her mother. And then when he dies, given that he didn't have any children, his paternal brothers yashin him. Kamens the Gemara, bedafke ben yom echad. When is this said? Only if the child was born is this possible. However, kamens the Gemara, ava ubeloy. If he was only a fetus, then this thing wouldn't be applicable. Why, says the Gemara? My tama, to whom my inspiration. The Gemara says a fact. That if a woman is pregnant and the mother and the baby die, then the halacha is that the baby will always die first. The who ma'is bereisha, so he'll die first, and then she'll die. So by the time she dies, he's dead. And the halacha is, v'ena ben yorishas ima bekever, lahanchel lo'ochim an'av. To, that his brothers, his paternal brothers, yashin him. So the Rishonim point out, but this is a very important concept. Because if this is indeed the case, So the question is, why if we have a situation, where we have a pregnant woman, do we do Chilul Shabbos to try to save the child if the child is always going to die before the mother? There's nothing to do. So the Rishonim give a number of explanations. First of all, even though the Gemara says that the mother always dies first, so there's two approaches in the Rishonim. One is that's only in a case where it's a natural death. Which a natural death from disease, so there, the Gemara explains, I think it's Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, that the Malach HaMavis has more power over the child who's not even alive, over the mother who's already a living being. But let's say the mother was stabbed to death, Rahman al-Tzlan, or let's say she died in pregnancy, in delivery, then it doesn't necessarily mean that the child will die first. So therefore, it's not always going to be that the child dies first. Another approach that the Rishonim take is that although the Gemara does indeed indicate that the child always dies before the mother, but there are exceptions to the rule. And when we speak about Hatzalah, when we speak about Bikuach Nefesh, we even are Mechal Shabbos when it's a Suffolk, when it's even a very remote chance. And since there's always a remote possibility that this child may be the exception to the rule and die after the mother, so let us try to save the child, even though we know that the mother died. Ask the Gemara, is this a fact that the child always dies before the mother? The mother died and the child, the fetus, still was convulsing. So the Gemara, that isn't a raya. Amam Rab Reid Ravashi, Mida de Hava, a zon of Haltam de Vrachesis. Just like when we learned the Masechta Chulin many times, that there's a concept of Perchis. Mishnah says that the tail of a lizard is an example of something that is Mefarchis. So there's a concept in Halacha Perchis that doesn't mean it's alive. It's just still convulsing because of nerves. Ma'adarei the Yais Mishmei the Rav, a different explanation. Loi Mishmeimat B'chelik B'chayra, which means as follows. We all know that a Bechor gets a double portion. So the simple example is that let's say a father leaves over two sons, Reuven and Shimon. And the father left over six gold coins. So the way the Yerusha is divided is it's not divided as if there's two shares, it's divided as if there's three shares. And the Bechor gets two, and the other brother gets one. Says the Mishnah that as soon as the child is born, he's a brother. So if this slave is a day old, we don't divide, and you had Reuven and Shimon, so we don't divide into three shares as we just said, we divide it into four shares. Vamamah, now says the Gemara, an incredible chiddush. Vamamah, b'reid Reb Yosef Mishmei d'Rava, ben shenol achem mises aviv, einem nat b'chelik b'chayim. Which means as follows. We would assume that let's say a father, Rahman Slan, dies. And he left over Reuven and Shimon, and his wife was pregnant. And a couple months later, whenever she has this baby, Levi. So what should we do? We have to take Levi into consideration. Like we just said, we would divide the Yerusha into four parts. Says the Gemara, that's not the truth. Since when the father was, when the father died, there were only two children, Reuven and Shimon. So what happens is as follows. We divide the Yerusha into three parts, like we just said. Because there's a Bechor. And the Chelik Bechora, the two coins that the Bechor is entitled to, he takes. Now Levi is born, and the remaining four coins are divided into three parts between Reuven and Shimon and Levi. But his Bechor part that he's entitled to, since his brother Levi wasn't born at the moment of death, he gets no matter what. Bechidish. My Tama, B'yoldim Loi Binan. We look at the Bechira with the we look at the Shir Bechira at what was there when the father actually died. Besura Masnahochi. In Surah they learn Peshat in the Mishnah this way. Kamens the Gemara, however, but Pumadisa Masnahochi. In Pumadisa they learned the Mishnah this way. Amr Mabarei, the Rav Yosef Mishmei, the Rava, Bechor Shinoi Lachem Mises Aviv, if a Bechor only was born. And we just finished learning that the Bechor is entitled to the extra portion. Teaches us the Gemara, when, if the Bechor was only born after his father passed away, and a night pishnayim. So the Rishonim explain, what does that mean? Two examples they give. Let's say a person that died, and he left over a pregnant wife. And the wife had twins, two boys. So the older boy, the boy that came first, is the Bechar. Or another example they give is where a person died and he left over, Rachman Tzlan, two pregnant women. And they both had boys, but one had a son before the other one, so the first one born is the Bechar. So even though, as we just learned, and we know that the Bechar is typically entitled to an extra portion, that's only if the Bechar was in the world together with his father. But in a case where the Bechar only came to the world after his father passed away, the dinim of Bechar don't apply. Why? Bechar should not la'achem mises aviv, ain't a noitel pishnayim. He's not a noitel pishnayim. My tama. Why? Because the pasuk that teaches us the entitlement of the Bechar to pishnayim says yakabinen, that the father should have known v'aleka, because he died before the son should be born. The machlokes rishonim, what would be the halacha? So the Rishonim make two comments. Certainly, if the son was born before the father died, but the father never physically met his son, for whatever reason, that certainly doesn't change the halacha. Since he was able to see it, it was physically possible, he's considered a Bechar. But why would be the halacha debate the Rishonim if the father was a Goisis when the Bechar was born? Is that included in the category of Yaker? At the end of the day, they were in the world together. On the other hand, he was a Geisus at that point. He was so deathly ill, maybe it wouldn't be already considered Yaker. Says the Gemara, all of these halachas that we just learned, says the Gemara, are actually correct. We learned in the Mishnah, if you kill Rachman Tzlan, even a child who's one day old, Yechayiv, the Ksiv, because the pasuk says, "V'ish ki yaka kol nefesh mikom akum," no matter what. "V'reyu la'aviv ul'imoy ul'kol kroiv k'chosin shalom." Ask them, what does the Mishnah mean? "L'may hachasa amra popel in yinavelus." That if the child was born, once he's born, and he, Rachman Tzlan, passes away, he's this hilchas avelus kick in. Comments the Gemara. Command the like of Shimon Gamliel. This actually doesn't follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Dama for Shimon Gamliel says, "Kol sheshlo shloshim yom be'adam." Only if the child survived 30 days, ain't a nafel, do we know that the child is not a nafel, and that's when hilchas avelus apply. Haloi shah, if the child did not survive 30 days, sofik hava, and we know that by avelus, whenever we have a sofik, we don't follow Avelis. Halach can make by Avelis. So our Mishnah that says that even a child that died who's one day old, there's already Hilchas Avelis, doesn't seem to be able to be consistent, comments the Gemara, with the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Says the Gemara, no. Hachamai Skina, our Mishnah is referring to a situation, the Kimle Shekol Aloi Chadashev. We're speaking about a situation where we know that the child came to full term. As the Rishonim explained, we know when the mother had relations with the husband and that she didn't have relations any other time, and we do the math, we know it's full term 9 months. There, even if Shimon Gamliel agrees that if it's Kol Aloi Chadashev and he dies even before 30 days, that he's not a nafel and Hilchas Avelus would apply. Says the Mishnah, Bas Shloshanim V'yom Echad V'skadesh Esubiyah. We know the first Mishnah, Masechta Kedushin, teaches us he should nickness Shlosh Drachim, the three ways to do Kedushin. The Kesav Vishtar Babiya. Biya is a form of Kedushin. So the halacha is also, as we learned in Parashas Mishpatim, that a father has the ability to be Makadish's daughter. So the Kedusha Biya are considered Kedushin if the girl is 3 years old. Because only if the girl is 3 years old is the Biya considered a Biya. Furthermore, Vimbala Yavim, as we spoke about before, as soon as the brother dies without children, there's Hilchas Yibam. Yibam is only accomplished through Biya. If the Amana is 3 years old and up, Kana, it's considered Yibam. It's considered a full-fledged wife. V'chayavan alam mishum eishes ish. And if somebody has relations with this girl who's married, what this is going back to, is it going back to the case of Yavam? Was it speaking about any girl? Probably could learn both pshatim. She's considered a full-fledged Eishes Ish. We also spoke earlier in our Masechta many times that if somebody is metam, if somebody is boil hanida, he becomes tamei. So, but there had to be an act of bia. Teaches us the Mishnah that if this girl was a nida and she's already 3 years old and up, so the act of bia is halachically considered a bia, and if she's a nida, it's considered a bia's nida, and therefore metam is boil tamei mishkav takhtan kalyan, which means that what Ray Rashi explains, that whatever is on top of the zov is only considered a rishon l'tuma, and a rishon l'tuma only has the ability to be metama oichlin a mashkin, not adam v'kelim. Taisus we learned has a different pshat, that if the zov causes the weight to go up, what's on the other side of the scale will become tummy. Nisus l'kayin, if she marries a kayin, the loch is toichl v'truma, she's entitled to eat truma. Ba'ala echem and apsulim, and if somebody who, if there's a woman, if there's somebody who has relations with her, that the halacha is that if those people have relations with a woman, that woman becomes disqualified from ever marrying a kohen, such as a chalul, a nasan, a mamzer, a eved, a kachavim, the bia of a girl who's 3 years old, paslam and akuna, disqualifies this girl if she had bia with one of these individuals from ever marrying a kohen. Ba'ala echem mikol harayis. But Omer's Batara, if someone who's not out of relations with her because of the Isser Arayis has relations with her, Mumsa Allah, so they're subject to Chiyav Misa, if there were Edom and Asra, Vehi Petura. But she is part of it because she's a Katana, and there's obviously no punishment to a Katana. Pachs Mikain, however, comments the Gemara, if Bia is done with a girl who's less than 3 years old, Tanasan Etzvabayin, it's like just poking the eye. Stumra will focus on it tomorrow's shiur. Begins the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Baskim Moshanim Eskadeshes Bebiya Divrei Remeya. The Chacham Maimrim, Baskim Moshanim V'Yom Echad. Ask the Gemara Mai Benai, what's the difference between Remeya and the Chachamim? Amri Debei Rav Yanai, Erev Rosh Hashanah Ikku V'Nayu, which means as follows. According to Remeya, a girl, the last day before her third birthday, is already considered a three-year-old. Whereas according to the Chachamim, she's only considered a three-year-old on the day of her birthday. There are Rishonim that say that not only do you need the day of the birthday, but you need to have Me'es Leis. That means we look at what time the child was born, and you have to have the exact same time 3 years later. We don't pass in that way. Rav Yochanan, understanding the opinion of Rameyah, says, Lamed Yom B'Shana, Chshuvim B'Shana. That means, according to Rav Yochanan, as soon as the girl is 2 years old and 1 month, that's already considered a three-year-old. Ikvenai, that would be the machlokes. That means according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rameya, 2 years old and 1 month makes you into a three-year-old. According to the other Shita, the last day of your third year also. That's the machlokes between the Chacham and Rameya. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Baskim Moshanim V'Yom Echad, three-year-old. V'Afil Baskim V'Yom Echad, Miskadeshes B'Yad Divrei Remeya. V'Cham Ma'im Baskim Moshanim V'Yom Echad, says the Gemara, Bishlam L'Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Remeya, K'eichad Iketana D'Kam Yom Echad B'Shana Chash Shana, Hachin Nami Iketana D'Am Lam Yom B'Shana Chashum B'Shana. Rabbi Yochanan said that what does Remeya hold? 2 years old and 1 month makes you into three-year-old. So if Yochanan says the Gemara could also understand that there would be an opinion that says you don't even need a month. You don't have to have Lamed Yom B'Shana to be considered a Shana. Even 1 year in the year could be Chosh V'Shana. But according to Rabbi Yanai, that Rabbi Yanai says that even Rameyer only is lenient on the last day of the year, how will we reconcile Rabbi Yanai with what is taught in this Braisa? El Rabbi Yanai Kasha, says the Gemara remains Kasha. So, as we always say in our Shurim, the Ritva says this here, there's a difference when the Gemara ends with a Kasha, with a Tiyufta. On a Kasha, there's a Teretz. Says the Ritva, what the Gemara could say is, that even though Rabbi Yanai isn't easily understood, because here we have 1 year, 1 day is enough, 1 month is enough, he could say that you need a whole year minus a day, all the same concept, you don't need a full year, and Rabbi Yanai isn't necessarily very difficult to understand.